This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Kentucky freshman Republican Senator Rand Paul. He joins me now to offer his thoughts on the latest developments in the ever-changing debt ceiling debate. And, Senator, it's always good to have you with us.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Right now, of course, it seems like there's two different plans out there. I know you like neither of them, the Boehner plan in the House as well as the Reid plan in the Senate. Let's start with the Boehner plan that appears to have been tweaked to add a mandatory balanced budget amendment, which was part of the original cut, cap, and balance. A lot of concern still over the spending component of that. How much has the bill improved if, in fact, there is a mandatory amendment as part of it?
Well, the first problem is that it'll add about $1 trillion to the debt ceiling that's not dependent on the balanced budget. The other part that's a problem is that it allows spending to increase and debt to increase about $7 to $8 trillion over the next 10 years, which is kind of inconsistent with the balanced budget amendment. So you kind of scratch your head and you say, well, if we actually pass the balanced budget amendment, that would negate the rest of the Boehner plan. So they're kind of internally inconsistent. It all gets down to sort of some fuzzy Washington math. I mean, everybody around here is talking about cutting the deficit, but they're talking about cutting against the proposed increase in the debt. So the Boehner plan and the Reid plan will both add about $7 to $8 trillion to our debt over the next 10 years, and I just think that's unsustainable.
And talk a little bit more about the point you just made, in that instead of reducing the increases in spending, there's obviously a push underway by you and others to actually decrease spending. What kind of numbers are acceptable to you of actual decreases?
Well, the interesting thing is you can balance the budget by cutting one penny out of every federal dollar spent. So a 1% across-the-board cut balances the budget in about 7 or 8 years. And this is remarkable because when people look at it, they say, well, gosh, that doesn't sound that drastic. It's not that drastic. The problem is in Washington, they always talk about cuts against a baseline, but the baseline's going up 7.5% a year. So if you had a freeze, let's say next year we said we're not going to spend any more next year than we spent this year, and you did that for 10 years, from the baseline, you would have cut $9.5 trillion because we're going to spend $9.5 trillion more in the next 10 years than we spend currently. And so that's really where the rub of this is that the accounting is sort of a fuzzy math. But really, a 1% cut would actually balance the budget in 7 or 8 years.
Right now, you've got the oldest baby boomers hitting 65, which means in the next decade and beyond, of course, they're going to be piling on these entitlement systems. So if you cut 1% across the board, how much ultimately are you really going to have to cut because of the exploding costs in some of these other programs?
Yeah, the entitlement programs are failing and are broken, and they're broken for two main reasons. One, we're living longer, and two, we had a lot of babies after the war, and then we had fewer babies in the next generation. So it used to be about 50 workers to one retiree. Now it's less than 3 workers to one retiree. So all the entitlement programs are overburdened and are not fiscally sound. You can fix the entitlement programs by letting the ages of eligibility gradually rise to age 70 over about a 20 or 30 year period. And you can also fix them if you'll means test. And those who have more earnings when they're not retired would get a little bit less in Social Security and have to pay a little bit more for their Medicare.
We keep hearing in the media, and I know you're opposed to the Boehner plan as well, so that the Boehner plan is dead on arrival in the Senate. We don't hear it as much, but the Reid plan would seem to be dead on arrival in the House. So what do you expect here in the next 24 to 48 hours on your side of the Hill?
You know, I'm kind of confused as to what the purpose is of passing the Boehner plan. We've already passed cut, cap, and balance. It got 234 votes. The Boehner plan is going to get maybe 216 or 217 if it passes. So my question is, why are we passing a second bill that the Democrats also say is dead on arrival? Why didn't we just try to amend cut, cap, and balance and merge that with the Democrats to see if we could get something better? So I really think in the end there will be no balanced budget requirement in whatever the Democrats agree to, and it'll end up passing with most of the Democrats and some of the Republicans in the end.
Now we're talking with Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul. And, Senator, one of the things that the president talked about in the past, not so much lately, his effort to freeze non-defense discretionary spending. What is not often mentioned there, though, that is that the number right now is frozen at the number after the stimulus money was added in the fiscal year that happened, 2009. How easy or how difficult would it be to kind of peel that back to where it was prior to the stimulus?
Well, you know, that's a real problem, and that's part of what Washington does is they try to trick you with their rhetoric. When they froze the spending, they froze it after they increased it by about 25%. So freezing an elevated level of spending isn't doing anybody any good. The other thing is they're freezing and talking about 12% of the budget. So you can eliminate 12% of the budget and you won't balance the budget. So really it's inconsequential. It's better than having the spending explode, but it already exploded previously. So now it's just freezing in a higher level. So, yeah, I think we need to go after all of those things. It's going to take another election, though. We are at a disadvantage, you know, in the Senate, and we don't have the White House. But I think if the message gets out that, you know, the people in the White House are really against American ingenuity and business and really at every turn are adding new regulations and new obstacles, and that unemployment still continues to be high because they are not really appreciative or understanding of how business creates new jobs.
Well, let me get your thoughts on where the conservatives do have the power right now, and that's the House. There's obviously a debate that you've very much been part of about what the House Republicans can do right now. As you mentioned, obviously the full conservative agenda would have to wait for more favorable election results. But at the moment, there are some who say, well, the House Republicans can do something right now. And even if that means putting ourselves in a position where there's a lot of nervousness about the debt ceiling deadline and that sort of thing, the purse strings start in the House and they should hold the line. How far would you like them to go?
Well, I think that's a good point. And I've been a big advocate for the House passing good things and then sending them over to the Senate. And so, for example, cut, cap, and balance was a great idea. It said that we were willing to compromise, we were willing to raise the debt ceiling, but we wanted to have a balanced budget plan and have it in the Constitution. And so right now, like for example, there's an EPA appropriations that reduces the EPA's budget and restricts some of the overzealousness of their regulators. It's going to pass in the House. And I think what I'd like to see and what I'm going to work on is trying to develop a coalition of 41 Republicans over here who will say, we need you to work with that House model or we're not going to let any appropriations go through the Senate. And I think if we did that, we'd have more say and we make every budget battle, every appropriations battle, similar to the same battle we've been fighting over the debt ceiling.
We're talking with Senator Rand Paul. And Senator, as part of that, there's been obviously this debate over the last 3 to 4 days that some have called as virulently as a civil war within the Republican Party. But clearly those who are standing in what they consider principle and those who say they want to stay as principled as possible while also getting something accomplished on this issue in a way that they can get bipartisan support for. Is this a fight that had to happen at some point between the Tea Party and the establishment, or is this kind of a moment that the party feels very, very uncomfortable and would rather not be happening right now?
You know, I don't think there's that much discomfort, to tell you the truth. I think most people, even those who aren't really from the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party, appreciate that most of the new folks up here came here because of the Tea Party wave. And I think we are influencing the debate. We're not winning all of the battles, but we are definitely influencing the debate. And many times you'll hear even people who've been here for a while say that before we came, the debate was about what they were going to do in pork barrel spending and where they were going to spend the money. And now the debate really is where they're going to at least cut the proposed increases in spending. And so I think we're making progress. We're winning the public debate. We're just not yet winning the legislative battles because we still need more people up here who believe in limited constitutional government.
And just to close out here, your position is you won't be supporting anything unless it has actual spending cuts and a balanced budget amendment, correct?
Yeah, I don't want to add any debt over time. I'm willing to say we can raise the debt ceiling to cover some of the debt that's been created, but I don't want to add $7 or $8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years. I can't vote for any plan that doesn't eventually balance.
Senator, very interesting. We appreciate your thoughts very much, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.